Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. This is Workshop 1 of the 2021 NICE Project. And just for those of us who can't remember, like myself, NICE stands for Noblesville Interdisciplinary Creativity Expo. And it's where we pick four classic works of fiction, usually. Sometimes we've had poetry and different things, but we pick four books, and then we pick four standalone passages, one from each book, and throughout the project, we look at the books as a whole, the authors. We do a lot of diving deeply with our podcast discussions into the books, and then the workshops tend to focus on the passages. So we actually have five workshops. We have the first one tonight is the introductory one where we just kind of introduce the books, our four books, and then the rest of the workshops this year will be one for each book and passage from that book. So, Sarah E., why don't you introduce our books to
Excellent.
Our listening audience, because they can't see the image that I have behind me in the Zoom.
Absolutely. Yes, so our four books are Sula by Toni Morrison, The Yellow Wallpaper, which is technically a short story, not a book, but we love it because it's just as rich as a book is, by Charlotte Perkins Gilman, A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline Lingle, and Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs. And it's hard to believe that this is our seventh year doing this.
I know, that is hard to believe. I agree. What else do you want to say about just in general, anything in general before we, like what, let's just talk for a minute about, how do I say this, like what we try to, you know, our little list of what we're trying to find in each book, like common themes or things like that. Why don't we do that? Why don't we discuss
sure.
that?
We always look for a variety of forms. Mm-hmm. We do try to find some sort of theme that's going to unite them all. We also try to do at least some marginalized voices each year.
Yeah.
We try to get some pieces that maybe people read in high school and they haven't looked at since.
Yeah.
You know, so they can get a fresh look at something they either used to love and forgot about, or maybe that they hated in
yeah.
high school. And now they need yeah. to come to terms, maybe find something to love about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I also want to just say really quickly to those at home that we do have a special guest with us today, a participant in our workshop who hasn't missed, I think, a single one, it feels like.
I know.
So shout out to Deborah Peterson, who's joining
oh!
us.
Fabulous poetess Deborah Peterson.
Salutations, one and all. You're headed for a good time.
Yeah,
I can vouch for that.
A lover of language, and in workshops past and in projects past, we have so enjoyed your insights into the books, the passages, the artwork that you create to bring to the presentation event is always just so fabulous.
Oh, pshaw.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. You know, I did, and I know you listen to our podcast, Deborah. You're so fabulous. And I wanted to just encourage everybody to listen to our podcast. You can find it on our website. It's called At the Roundtable. And we do delve into a lot of things like narrative style and kind of the more academic literature, themey, historical aspects of things. We have a lot of fun with the podcast, but I'll be editing this workshop into podcast episodes and putting that up too, so everybody will be able to participate even if they're not here tonight. Yay!
I'm just curious, before we launch into the individual books, Deborah, which of these have you read?
I have read all of them but Tarzan, but I've seen so many Tarzan movies, I think I could probably piece it together, but I'm sure that I'm missing the whole historical context. Yeah. And
language.
Really what was going on with, you know, in that part of the world, and that it was a statement of that part of the world. I'm sure I missed out on that.
Mm, yeah.
But yeah, from
and just and
Ron
I don't know.
Healy and yeah. on.
Oh, I go back further than Ron Ely with Tarzan. I go back to Johnny Weissmuller. But have you read any Edgar Rice Burroughs at all?
No.
So
a genre that I tried yeah. to.
Yeah. No, I understand.
It wasn't a genre I hooked into. Yeah.
I think that of his writings, the Tarzan of the Apes, and especially that was a series he wrote of books, but especially this first book, I think the beauty of some of the language and some of his writing is so much more enjoyable than some of his other works. That's just a little personal feeling I have for this particular book. There are passages in it that I think are truly beautiful, despite the fact that it's a book full of problematic content, which we will get to in the fifth workshop, which will be about Tarzan of the Apes. But I think, you know, for these four books, Tarzan's kind of our outlier. It's the only male author. And it's a little bit like I said, it has a lot of problematic content, and some of it is just incredibly false science and crazy stuff, but we'll get there. But I feel like we kind of flipped this year, and our outlier is a man.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Oh. Would you like for me to launch into a little overview of Sula?
Yes, please. That's the first one we're going to talk about. Woohoo!
All right. So for our overview, we're going to try so hard to keep it to a 15-minute overview and introduction to the book. So I volunteered very quickly for Sula by Toni Morrison. It was written in 1973. And so the quick summary of it is this book tracks the friendship and its dissolution of Sula and Nell, two Black women living in The Bottom, a Black community in Ohio post-World War I. So that's the quick summary. And it is very hard to describe the book as a plot, because what I really felt it was a beautiful characterization of the people, particularly the friendship of these two women, and the town itself, versus like, hey, here is a nice, neat plot that we can track. So Nell, we see her from childhood on to older age. She's raised with more convention. She's raised with rigid values. Even though as a child, she's uncertain that she wants a conventional life, she winds up living one. And then Sula, they are like this, they are, you know, kind of soulmates in a way. She is raised in a boarding house by an eccentric grandmother and an eccentric mother. They are seen as being more free and loose. Sula has a birthmark over one of her eyes. And depending on people's perception of her at different points in the books, they'll describe it differently. Like, it may look like a rose to one of them. It may look like a snake to somebody else. And that's just an insight on how people see her. Sula's smart and impulsive. And after she graduates, she leaves The Bottom for 10 years, goes to college, lives an unconventional life, and then she comes back and she has no problem sleeping with everybody in town. And that really upsets the social order. So our friends become friends again, but because guess who Sula sleeps with? Nell's husband. Their friendship dissolves. Now, eventually they do temporarily reunite. And spoiler alert, at the end of it, after Sula has passed away fairly young, all these decades later, Nell discovers that, hey, I wasn't all that morally superior to Sula after all. We really were two halves of the same whole. And all this time I thought I was missing my estranged husband. It has not been him. It's been this best friend that I was never able to fully reconcile with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great summary. Yours is mine. I gotta edit mine down as I talk. But that's such a beautifully written book too. It really is.
Absolutely. And the poetry of the language is why I really, not that it was a hard sell with you, but that's why I really pushed for us to do this, because, oh, it's Deborah, it's your kind of language where you just sit and you kind of simmer, you steep mm-hmm. in the language, mm-hmm. You know,
I walked away with a full belly of eating such good words and usage. I mean, I would call up my daughters and read to them sentences like, aww, you know, the view of the guy sitting at the bar and the way that his pointy two-colored shoes pointed at the floor. And it's just like, oh my God, how did someone go there? I mean, you felt it in all five of your senses. And it was like two lines on the page.
Yeah, yeah. And every line on the page is like that almost. Yeah.
Full belly. It's mm-hmm. a full belly book.
And it captures, yes, the senses so well, but also the nuances of relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing is taken in, you know, this is not meant as a racial commentary, black and white. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing is completely good in this book. Nothing is completely bad in this book. All the nuances of the ways functional and dysfunctional that people relate are spelled out just so convincingly and freshly.
Mm-hmm. And yet without judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just there for the reader to take in. And I think that's one of the reasons that we can feel it in all of our, feel it, hear it, taste it, whatever, in all of our senses, because it becomes what we're breathing in and what we're tasting. It's because it's not a lecture or, you know, it's not judgmental. There's not like a good character, like you said. It's not black and white like that. It's very mm-hmm. human. And Toni Morrison, genius. Yeah.
And that's a beautiful transition let me talk to you about Toni Morrison.
The discussion from workshop number one in the 2021 NICE project continues in our next At the Roundtable episode.